Amen. Matthew 28. So we're looking at walking the supernatural. And at this time, it's important that we remind ourselves of the validity of what we have believed. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 20. From verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me." That's the word authority. Exousia. "Is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," or "therefore go, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you." Now, when you use the word command, because remember that we saw something last week. We said, part of Bible interpretation is you sit in the seat of the hearers. And how do you sit in their seat? This isn't the language that they had. There was no English at that time. The closest language to English was Latin in those days. So there was Greek, there was Hebrew, there was Aramaic. So the reason why we study translations and we study original language, so that what were they hearing? You can know what they were hearing. Because, okay, I was in the Bible school on Saturday, and I was trying to teach them when Jesus was telling disciples in Mark chapter 16, when he told them, "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name." They didn't hear J-E-S-U-S. That's the problem. The Eastern mind, when he hears name, it speaks about legacy. It speaks about accomplishment. It speaks about wealth. What the person represents, that's what they heard. So they had journeyed with him from his earthly ministry to his heavenly ministry. So now he was standing before them. This is a heavenly being in a man's body. And he's telling them, "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name." So they didn't hear yes, yes. And that's why when we step out, you want to do signs and wonders, you are pronouncing the name. The secret is not in pronunciation. It is that the name means what he has accomplished, what he has authorized you to do. A man gives you a check that he signs. The name on the check may be yours, the check is his. But the final authority on that check is his signature, which they will compare with their system to honor the check. So when Jesus said, "In my name," he's saying to walk in signs and wonders, listen carefully, not only are you constituted, the realm of the spirit authorizes you. So it's not in how it's pronounced, because pronunciation is different. In Arabic, Jesus is not pronounced Jesus. Hebrew is not even pronounced Jesus. In Hebrew, it's the same word as Joshua. Some people say that the name of Jesus is five letters. How many letters is it? It's five letters. Is it five? Six. It's six. Okay, because some people say, that's the number of grace. It's five. That's the number of grace. J-E-S-U-S. Grace. That's how to fall into error. Because Joshua and Jesus mean the same thing. It means Jehovah is salvation. That's what it means. But at that point in time, when I was telling them in my name, Jehovah is salvation was now a present tense reality. It was no longer a promise. So in my name, you will cast out devils. You are meant to sit down with the disciples. You hear what they are hearing to understand that Matthew chapter 16 from verse 18 has been fulfilled. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." And what? "The gates of hell shall not what? Prevail." That is, the gates of hell, Hades, will not prevent my resurrection. Because the resurrection is how the church was built. The resurrection simply means everything God ever said he will do, he has accomplished, he has done. So the gates of hell will not prevent the word of God from coming to pass. That's what he said. And what is the word of God? Look at the next verse. It says, "And I will give unto thee." So as a result of me building my church, the building of that church, I will give unto thee. Now this is Matthew's language. So in the series of teachings we've had before, we've looked at the language of the writers also matter. They're not saying different things, they're saying the same thing, but the language differs. So Matthew is recording Jesus' teaching, and Matthew's language is, "And I will give unto the keys of the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is not a planet. It's a spiritual reality. At the time Jesus was saying it, he was the only one in that kingdom. At that time, "I will give unto the key," means I will give you access. And access means you'll be authorized to stop things on earth because you already have the right to do so in the unseen. So, in other words, you will be physically seen on earth, but you'll be operating from the unseen because you will have access to that place as a son of God. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. So, the language that they heard matters. What did they hear when they heard in my name? They didn't hear Jesus. They heard in the light of what I've just accomplished. Now that what was spoken as promise, Jehovah will save you. Jehovah has saved you. And by saving you, you're not just rescued from your sin. You are now a new creation. Someone who is recorded as having never sinned. So you are now God's righteousness. Wherever you stand, is as though God is standing. That's what they were hearing. In my name. So nobody had a question about the kind of question we have today. What if I speak and it doesn't go? What if I cast, it doesn't go? He didn't even try. You have heard stories that tell you it won't work. Somebody told you, after 7 days of fasting, I went to the village. Who needed 7 days of fasting? You needed 7 days of fasting to know that God gave you authority. Because after 7 days of fasting, if you don't know you have authority, you will still come back black and blue. I won't say the other one that once comes to my mind. I refuse. I refuse. You will come back beating black and blue. You are the one that knows you are thinking. I'm a child of God. Okay. So, you're the one that required that much. Fasting is good. But fasting doesn't carry away without knowledge. Fasting is good to explore the knowledge. Because fasting doesn't bring authority. It is what Christ has done that gave you authority. So, fasting makes sense after having contacted knowledge. You are dwelling on it. You are praying. You are praying out the reality of who you are. That's what fasting does. Fasting doesn't give you power. It never has. Otherwise, everybody going on hunger strike is receiving power. But we know they are not because they sometimes faint at the bus stop. They can be. So Matthew now. Go back to Matthew. What did they hear? Matthew, where were we? Chapter 28. Look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What are the things he commanded? We just saw one of them. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. So that whatsoever you bind on earth, that was part of the command. So he was telling them ahead of time what they will have by reason of the fulfillment of God's word, which was made possible in his resurrection. So he says, you are going to teach them, when you are discipling them, this is what to tell them. Now let me say this again. If this is what you heard from the day you got saved, your growth will be faster than this. Most of us don't hear this. Most of us here receive Jesus, so you won't go to hell. So it's usually insurance, fire insurance, that we usually hear. But look at what this is what you should teach them. So the early church were taught this, that every believer has authority. Teaching them to observe all things, part of what he commanded was that you, by that time you have authority. You have the right to bind. You have the right to loose. He says, and I've commanded you. Part of that commandment is this, and lo, I am with you. That's a complete mental shift. God is for me. God is with me. They are those two in the Holy Scriptures. But God is in me. That's what Abraham had. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and he was glad. A man had seen miracles. What could make a man almost 120-year-old start dancing? He saw God is in me. The I am is now with you. And so we looked at that name because Moses was not the first person to know God, but he was the first person to write about the things of God. So when you see Moses writing Genesis, the whole of Genesis, Exodus, we see Moses introduced to us. Whatever Moses learned in Exodus is what he wrote in Genesis. You need to understand the way Moses was writing. He was the first writer. He wasn't the first person to know God. So Moses being a major writer, the things he references about God are very crucial because they were the ones that Jesus put upon his lips for those who were in his audience to understand what he was trying to say. So when Jesus was saying, lo, I am with you, they heard that word, Yahweh is with you. And we said last week, the name is both a noun and a verb. Yahweh means the one who exists. But that is one part of the name. That's a noun. The other part is the one who exists to be. I exist to be something. I exist to be a redeemer. I exist to be a savior. So I exist. That's God all by himself. But God never wanted to be by himself. Alone. Because the fullness of who God is seen only in his interactions with men. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus. Exodus and chapter 3. Let's look at Moses. I'm going to read from verse 10. Oh, glory to God. Let me read from verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and I should bring forth the children of Israel? He said, certainly, I will be. That's the be part of his name. I will be. When will you be? He said, I will be with thee. So I am that I am, but I will be with. So in the ministry of Moses, he first foreshadowed what he would do as salvation. I am, but I will be. So what I am will be seen as you go. Interesting, when he told Moses about the cry of Israel, he said, I am come down to deliver them. How did you come down? I will be with. And because I am with you, that is me coming down. I am come down to deliver them. Therefore, go that I may send thee. And he's like, okay, wait. You are come down. Then you go. He said, the way I go is, I will be with. He said, I will be with you. And that's a prophecy. So in the life of Moses, he first experienced something that will happen in the future. Look at Exodus chapter 4. Look at verse 12. Now therefore go. I'll be with what? With thy mouth. I will be with your mouth. The words you will speak will be my own. I will be with your mouth. Because with the words you speak, deliverance will occur. I will be with your mouth. So it's a prophecy. I will be with. So I am. Go back to chapter 3. Are you there? Look at verse 13. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? So the people he's talking to have a history with God. The God of your father simply means the one who spoke to Abel, the one who discussed with Enoch, the one who spoke to Noah, the one who had interactions with Abraham. He has spoken unto me. So he says, they will say, what is his name? So the first time God will introduce them, now pay attention to what I'm saying. The first time God will introduce himself in the scriptures is what we find in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. This is the first time. Now listen. The confusion is that when you go back to Genesis, you see the way God introduced himself. But the person who wrote Genesis is the one the Bible is discussing. That's Moses. So it is what God told Moses here that Moses recorded in Genesis. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Let me see. You understand? Beautiful. So notice, pay attention. So the way God introduced that, I am. Look at what he said. I am. This is what you're going to tell them. I am that I am. Which is, I am who I am, I will be what I will be. Now, within that statement, within the circumference of that utterance, is God showing himself to be Father when necessary, and I will be a Son when necessary, and I will be Spirit when necessary. Or these are the ways in which I will reveal myself, because I am what I am so that I can be what I intend to be. So all that I am will not be seen until I become who I intend to become. Say amen. The becoming part is an interaction that can only be seen when it interacts with men. So that you know this document you are holding is ratified forever. It can't fail. You didn't hear what I said. It can't fail. It's not wishful thinking. You are not following funny device labels. You are talking about the blood of God. Ratify this. Someone says, does God have blood? Yes, he has in Christ Jesus. The blood of God ratified this document. It can't fail. That's what God said to Moses. That's what Moses heard. So when we go back to Genesis now, that we saw the other, and chapter 17, and we saw God introduced himself to Abraham. This is Moses writing. The self-existing one whose attribute, whose nature, whose character will be revealed when he manifests himself to man and among man. So he says to Abraham, when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham, because he was a prophet, and said unto him, I am. Can you say that one? Well, originally the one "am" is not there. The word is, I, the Almighty, or the Almighty God, walk before me and you will be perfect. That's the first clue. You will walk in the light of all I will say to you, and it is what I will say that will perfect you. I'm not requiring perfection of you. When I come with everything I need. I'm only inviting you to participate. That's God's introduction to Abraham. I, Almighty God, as you walk before me, you'll be perfect. I'm responsible for your perfection. Look at the next verse. And I will make my covenant between me and who? And thee. Who will make the covenant? Who will make the covenant? Okay. And I will what? The terms. Multiply thee how? Exceedingly. Look at verse 10. If we can't do verse number 5. And Abraham, verse 10, please. Verse 10. And this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you. And thy seed after thee, every man child among you shall be what? Sacrificed as a token. So God gave Abraham something physical to call his attention, or to give him a physical evidence of what he would do. Let me say this again. We can't go through all that today. But then Isaac was to show Abraham how God will raise Christ from the dead, because Isaac came when Abraham was physically dead with respect to productivity. So God gave Abraham circumcision, a sign, something Abraham could hold on to. Why? Man was used to blood covenants. And I explained to you last week, very important, that the weaker will come to the stronger. I need your protection. I need you to come to my aid when my enemies attack me. Whatever you want of me, I will bring to you. You can take my produce, you can take our farmlands, as long as you offer us what? Protection. It is the weaker that goes to the stronger. So it was not a practice and a culture where deity will come to a man. Mm-mm. Deity, where in those days were idols, were meant simply to be reverenced. You cannot do a contract with a deity. So when God came, God was following up on a practice among men to introduce himself fully to man. But the difference was that he wasn't going to go about their practice man's way. He was going to introduce that same practice, but in a way that will reveal his nature and character. So when he said, I, Almighty God, the double-breasted one, the one whose sufficiency is in himself. In fact, there's one translation that says that word Almighty also means a wide land that can take anything and everyone. A land where you can plant and you can harvest in the same year. He can take anything and everyone. Hallelujah. So I, the all-sufficient one, now in my sufficiency walk. And as you walk, I will perfect you. And this is how I want you to walk. I will make my covenant. So Abraham understood a pact is about to be made. An arrangement is about to be made. But when man is making covenant, it is me and Bryson here making a covenant. Our blood will flow. An incision on your hand, an incision on my hand, we put together, there must be a witness. And the witness usually must be greater than us. So sometimes they will do it before a deity that both of them fear. But there's a problem with this. It is a deity. Or the deity. He's not the stronger. He's the strong one. When you start saying stronger, it's like you're comparing. Is there any other? There's no other. To us, there's only but one God. The Father. So the strong one comes to the weaker. I will make covenant. What do you mean? Do I need my blood? No, it is my blood. I don't understand. How will it be ratified? I will ratify it. How will it come to pass? I will bring it to pass. What's my part? Believe. If you understand what I'm saying this morning, you understand why the law and the works of the law, why it's so terrible. Because this is God's nature and God's personality. I'm sufficient by myself. I don't need anything from you to make me God. So when I make a covenant, I'm introducing you, I'm inviting you to be a partner, and your partnership is that you come and enjoy. Your responsibility is that what I want to bring to come to pass, it will come to pass through you as you believe. That's your part. So he borrowed man's language, but he didn't do it the way man is used to doing it. Who supplied the terms? God. Who will fulfill the terms? God. Who is the guarantor? God. Who is the initiator? God. Whose blood will flow? God. And all things are of God. Hallelujah. And all things are of God. who has reconciled us to himself without our effort. He did it by himself. No wonder Paul kept laboring in teaching. The way you have begun is where you should continue. Don't let anybody bring to you the second work of grace. Third level of sanctification. Seven vital aspects. You have entered the works. You are back to washings. Just go into the temple of Moses. Even Moses has left that temple. Hallelujah. That's what he was saying. So that's what Abraham had. And in chapter 15, go to chapter 15. Abraham had been shown, so to speak, he had actually seen God establish what he said to him in a vision. God had come in a vision to show, because Abraham in chapter 14 cut a covenant, and the covenant Abraham cut enabled him to go out to rescue Lot. So God borrowed that language and came to Abraham. The difference was that instead of Abraham participating, Abraham was a bystander. He was just watching as God fulfilled what he said he would do. Look at, are you in Genesis 15? Let me read it from verse 7. And he said unto him, I'm the Lord God that brought you out of all the Chaldees, of the Chaldeans, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I will inherit it? And he said unto him, take me an ass of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all this, and divided them in the midst, and each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came upon the carcasses, Abraham drew them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an hour of great darkness, he fell into a trance. Okay, that's what happened. And he said unto Abraham, no! Of a surety, this is Abraham's covenant partner, speaking to Abraham as a prophet, revealing an event that was yet to come to pass 400 years before it happened. So look at what he said. I want you to know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. It shall serve them, they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come and will give substance. And you shall go to your fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of Amor is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking what? Furnace. And a burning lamb passed between the two pieces, or those pieces. In the same day, the Lord made what? He covenant with them and saying, unto thy seed have I given. Question, has he given the land already, or he was going to give it? Has he given, or he was going to give it? So, unto thee have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto. So, God called the covenant. What was Abraham doing? He was in a trance. He was watching. And that was a picture of the fact that you will watch as God becomes a man. You will listen to the teachings of God as a man. You will watch him as he goes to the cross. You will see him crucified. You will see him rise up. You will receive the benefits. How was the covenant ratified? In the blood of Jesus. Abraham, where is your blood? Your blood is not needed. You are dealing with the all-sufficient one. Hallelujah. You are dealing with the all-sufficient one. So Hebrews chapter 6. Look at the language of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. Praise God forevermore. When we deal with facts this way, what we're doing is that we're establishing our hearts in the reality of who our father is it and the validity of the word of God. Hebrews chapter 6, I read from verse 13. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, notice when God made what? Promise. So what is a promise? Assurance of divine good. Something God will do. Now, he's calling that covenant, he's calling it a promise now. So he's calling a promise. Now, in the normal language of covenant, is a pact, is an agreement. You do this, I do this, but this is not what God is saying now. Is a promise means that the bulk of responsibility is on my side. Something I will do, I will accomplish through you. Your responsibility, therefore, is to believe, and by believing, you become the conduit for the expression of what I want to do. See what it says again. It says, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by who? Himself. Saying, surely blessing I will want, bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. So after he had what? Patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Where was that statement lifted from? Genesis 22. Look at Genesis 22. It's Bible study, so you should be ready to read this way. Genesis 22. We saw, or we glanced over it last week. We're not glancing now. Genesis 22. Verse 1. We're going to read one or two verses and then jump. Are you there? It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. Yep. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Yep. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went on to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and did what? He saw the place afar off. Who is Abraham again? A prophet who is given to visions. So a prophet who is given to visions. Chapter 15, God cut the covenant. Chapter 17, God announced the covenant to him afresh. So Abraham has met the all-sufficient God, the one that doesn't need man for his word to come to pass. He has met that God already. So pay attention to what Abraham is about to do. He says, look at the next verse, verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide you here with the house, and I and the lad will go yonder. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Worship. Worship. There's going to be a teaching session now. Because the one who is going to inherit to Abraham and to his seed, Isaac will continue the lineage. Then Isaac will give it to Jacob. And Jacob will give it to Joseph. And from one generation, so Isaac must be brought into what God had discussed with Abraham. Isaac also will become a prophet. So notice, we're going to worship, me and the lad. We're not going to die. We're going to worship. Isaac's not about to be sacrificed. Now, we're going to worship. See what it says? We will come again to you. It wasn't lying. We're going to come again. It's not a test. It's not that, okay, when God just, when I kill the boy, God will just pour fire. The boy will just write out a trash. No. Abraham knew. Because in the first vision, Abraham, put the pieces, the one you are used to there. Two of us are supposed to cut ourselves so our blood can flow. But Abraham was just sleeping in a vision. And God went through the pieces himself. He said, I've cut the covenant. This commander is now binding on both of us. But it's binding in the sense that I am the one who initiated. I am the guarantee. You are the beneficiary. Hallelujah. So, see what he said again. Look at the next verse. Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father, he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for what? A burnt offering. And Abraham said, now, burnt offerings were normal in their days because, again, Abraham came from an idol-worshipping background. And so they sacrificed animals to their various deities. So it wasn't new. So God is using what Abraham is used to communicate who he is. That's what's happening. So look at what he said. God will provide himself, hallelujah, a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them what? Together. Look at verse 16 or verse 15. And the angel of God called out on the mount of heaven the second time. By myself have I sworn. What's by myself? I am the one that initiated. I'm the one that will fulfill. I'm the one that will bring to pass what I'm about to say. Because you have done this thing, you have not withheld your son, your only son. It says that in blessing I will what? Bless thee. In what? Multiplying, I will multiply. What will I multiply? Your seed as the stars of heaven. And as sandwich upon the seashore, and as sea shall possess the gate of his enemies. Galatians chapter 3. Are you coming along this morning? Praise God. We're looking at why Jesus said what he said. What did they hear when Jesus said so? Galatians chapter 3. I read from verse 1. We saw that during the week also. So when I'm saying this, I won't be looking at you. Anyway, you're not Galatians, so you're Nigerians. So even when I look at you and I say, oh, foolish Galatians, you're Nigerians. So he says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only will I learn of you, or I want to understand just one thing. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by what? The hearing of faith. Now you hear, what does it mean to receive the Spirit? It means to experience salvation. Did you receive the Spirit by your human effort? Did it require effort on your part? Did God consider your works, and by qualification you were now given the Spirit, or you were saved because you did right? So Paul is querying them because he's calling their attention to the fact that Jesus was evidently crucified and set forth among you. So you saw from the Holy Scriptures evidence of what God said he would do in the crucifixion of Jesus. I presented that to you. You saw it was all of God and none of man. You saw that your forefathers only received the benefit of what was promised. You saw that. So did you receive, now you heard that message, you believed. And when you believe, you received the Spirit. Did you receive that Spirit or salvation by your human effort or by the hearing of God's faithfulness? Say, God's faithfulness is my guarantee. And any and everything he has spoken to me will come to pass. It doesn't require my help. His word is true. He cannot fail. By three immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. Have a strong consolation. Say, I have a strong consolation. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. I will not faint. I will not doubt. I will not quake. I will stand my ground. Hallelujah. Three immutable things, it is impossible for God to lie. He cannot. Not that he will not. There are two different things. He cannot is inability. He will not is a willingness not to. They are not the same thing. It is impossible for God to lie. Means he cannot lie. He can't lie. So he says, how did you receive the Spirit? Is it by human effort or by you heard of God's faithfulness? Now, let me say it this way. The faithfulness of God in the day of Abraham is God said, I will multiply your seed. That's faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God to the church at Galatia is that I have multiplied your seed. Hallelujah. I have saved you. I have rescued you. That's God's faithfulness. Now, when you heard that God has done it, is that not how you received? You heard. You believed after the fact. Abraham believed before the fact. You believe after the fact. Now that you believe after the fact simply means that now it has been done. That's how you received. Let's read further. Galatians chapter 3. Which verse are we in now? Verse 3. Is that, are you so foolish? So for emphasis. Haven't begun where? In the Spirit. Let me say it this way. Haven't begun in God's faithfulness. See, I've started from the premise of God's faithfulness. I began because Christ is risen from the dead. I began in God's provision. I began in God's ability. I must therefore continue in God's ability. Of his own will, he begat me. Of his own will, he fulfills his word. Say he can't lie. Say he can't fail. He has promised to protect me. He has said he will preserve me. I am preserved. Just because he said so. He didn't just say so. His blood ratified it. Hallelujah. And if you know the blood is a spiritual substance that can fail. It's not red blood corpuscles. It's a spiritual substance that can fail. Are you so foolish? You began in the Spirit, or you began from God's faithfulness. So we have believers today. Listen carefully. It's a series of pictures on IG yesterday. It was about the elections, but what caught my attention was a minister of God that took pictures. I love that man. I love people who think like that. He went to go and vote, and I saw a lady who came to vote with a brace on her neck. What did you come to do? Election. You're going to vote. How long will voting take? A few minutes. What is our work? Forever. Salvation is forever. Election is a few minutes. But this assignment from heaven is forever. That means it doesn't have time limitations. Since you are sick, we won't wait until after election. Be healed now. And she was healed there, and then I removed the brace. That's your work. Somebody says, why can I do it? By three mutable things. In which it's impossible for God to lie. You can even say, by three mutable things, it's impossible for them not to be healed. If I touch them, you must receive. You must receive. He hasn't failed. Christ is risen. The covenant is ratified. It is sealed and settled forever. When I stretch out my hands, it's because it cannot fail. He has done it already. He's not going to do it. He has done it already. Say, these hands, they heal. This mouth preaches the gospel. People must be saved, and they will be saved. I'm the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. It's important you understand that. Are you so foolish? Haven't begun in light of God's faithfulness. Why will you go back to your own faithfulness? How faithful can you be? Even Abraham didn't think he could be faithful enough. He just walked before God and God perfected him. Why would you look to yourself? I didn't pray enough. I didn't confess enough. If they are praying for me, if they are, you have left God's faithfulness. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. Praise God forevermore. The time is going. It doesn't matter. They also thought time was going when Christ was in the grave. They won. Even if he fainted before, by now he's dead. If he was fainting, fainted. When you put in the sepulchre, nobody's there by now. Day two. And those 3 days, they like 3 eternities. Because if he doesn't come out, it's over. Abraham is lost forever. Moses is lost forever. All those people who prophesied, their prophecies are gone forever. Imagine everybody waiting for just one man. But the beautiful part is that that one man is God. And he knows no failure. He can't fail. All the elements respond to him. That's why you can be healed this morning. in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever the pain is and discomfort is, as you hear this word, be healed this morning. Your bones are strong. Your bones are whole. Your joints are healed in the name of Jesus. All your organs are working perfectly well in the name of Jesus. Everything about God heals. Everything about God heals. I am who I am. You are healing. How do we know? I will heal you. I will save you. I will deliver you. That's what Abraham had. Look at verse 5. Galatians. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit. The word minister means to furnish. So say, I have the Spirit. Say, I have the Spirit. The one who furnished me with the Spirit. He says, how did he do it? Is it by the works of the law, or because you heard of his faithfulness? So let me ask a question. The day you spoke in tongues, what did you hear that enabled you to lay hold on the Spirit? Your head, that the Spirit has been given. Therefore, tongues are available. What did you just hear? God has been faithful. He has given Spirit. The one who furnished you with the Spirit, how did he do it? That's how you began. That's how. So everything you want to receive is on the same premise. Don't slide back into legalism. Don't start looking at how many hours. I pray that God is measuring the hours. Pray more. Our prayer together. When I pray for 5 or 6 hours, it's not to persuade God. It's a service to God. It is God praying through me to serve others. It's not that if I pray for 5 hours, God will say, he must be very serious. Ah! Let me tell you how serious you are. Somebody has just done 12 hours. So he is more serious than you. And somebody is kneeling down, has not gotten up for 24 hours. He's more serious than you are. So if God is looking at that, very few of us will be blessed, particularly Lagos. Because you know how busy you are. Where will you find 24 hours? You have to create it. That can't be the reason. No. Those are works. We get rewarded for that, but not in answers to prayer. Answers in prayer belongs to all saints, all believers. I'm asking God for this. I'm trusting God for this. I'm believing God for this. But achieving multiple things is impossible for God to lie. What did Abraham believe? What was yet to come to pass? And Abraham patiently endured and he received. Why won't you receive anything you trust God for? Why won't you receive? No reason at all. Why won't you receive? No reason whatsoever. God was willing more abundantly to show the heirs of the promise, the unchangeable nature of his promise. He was willing. So God went the extra mile. Abraham, what are you used to? I will do exactly what you're used to and I will surpass it. I will surpass it. Imagine God telling Abraham, these are the things that are required for this to work. I will make sure I perform it. How will you perform it? I am that I am. I will be what I will be. I will be the lamb that will be sacrificed to make this a reality. What's my own part? Just be looking. There's a slang now. They play it. You think I don't know? Just they play. Just they play. But in your playing, be confessing. Speak the word. Pray in the Spirit. Be very bold to declare, I'm walking my Father's goodness. I'm walking his largesse. I enjoy his benefits. All of heaven is at the back of me. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Verse 6, Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which follow this path of faith, the same, they are what? The children of Abraham. It says, and the scripture foreseeing or speaking ahead of time that God would justify the heathen through faith, he announced ahead of time. Who is the scripture? He's talking about the writing of Moses. That's what he means by the scripture. So he uses, he takes the scripture, take on a personality. The scripture foreseeing that God will justify the heathen, he preached ahead of time the gospel, saying, in thee, and like thee, shall all what? The nations of the heart be blessed. Praise God forevermore. In thee and like thee shall all nations of earth be blessed. Ahead of time. He already spoke to Abraham. So in Galatians 3, we may not have time to go through it today. The word gospel, the word promise, the word covenant are used interchangeably to mean the same thing. The gospel, the promise, the covenant, all meaning the same thing. Promise, something God said he's going to do, he will fulfill. Covenant, something that is binding. on both the initiator, the guarantor, and the respondent. Praise God forevermore. That's what he said. Luke chapter 1. Let's read from verse 70. And these are part of the times of the covenant. See what it says? And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been before the world began, or since the world began, that we should be saved from what? Our enemies. Now, remember the language. What did God do? He came into human environment and borrowed human language. So the weak will go to the strong. Save me from my enemies, and I will serve you. So God now came to Abraham. I will save you from your enemies, but your enemies are not men. Your enemies are not men. Sin is an enemy. The devil is an enemy. Death is an enemy. I will rescue you from my enemies, but the way I want you to serve is not primarily by giving me your money, except your money will fulfill the purpose I want you to fulfill. So I will save you so that through you, others can be saved. That's your part. Indeed, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I will save you so that through you, others can be saved. I will redeem you, and through you, others will experience same redemption. That was the agreement that God had with Abraham. Hallelujah. He's not cars and houses. So people though that don't know Abraham, they have cars and houses. But those who don't have him are of all men most miserable. I don't want you to get to heaven for you to know the futility of material resources. We already seen enough of it on the earth. How can somebody have, you know, you're thinking because you don't have it. Nah. What can you do with $10 million? The pastor, let me have it first. So we don't need all those things. We all need Christ. I know, pastor. Plus $10 million. Plus, because pastor, let me just, okay. I know it's just million, but let me just have it first. $10 million. Yeah, but ask those who are used to that lifestyle and Christ is absent. You will now know that material resources can't touch a part of man's soul. The only answer to that part is Christ. I don't know if it's still true, statistically speaking, but at one time, the highest suicide rate was in the U.S. and it was primarily among successful people. There was an aching void on the inside. They were looking for something that seemed to be missing. So you see a surgeon, account filled with millions of dollars, successful surgeon, penthouse, 14 stories up, just jumped. Account is loaded. Just jumped. Obviously, money can't solve everything. Have you heard this thing before? Split personality disorder. That's psychology. Split personality disorder. I trust my African people. Demon. This is be giving him drug because you know he has a part of me is a woman. Part of me, which part? In that area, I don't mind African gospel. See, they are treating him that. Yes. There are three people inside of him. What's your name? James. There's Kathleen. And Mary. Who sometimes come up. You are possessed. You need demons cast out of you quickly. You are using psychology to treat demonic power. And that's part of Satan's deception. They are already deceived in thinking it's a psychological issue. Some that's demonic in origin. See what it says? It says that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Those are not men. Look at next verse. It says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember what? His holy covenant. It says, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, it says that he will grant unto us once we are delivered out of the hand of our enemies, my what? We might serve him without fear. You know what that means? I can lay hands without fear. I can preach without fear. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ has what? From the law of sin and death. I walk without condemnation. I'm God's righteousness now. No accusation can stand against me. Glory to God. We've been delivered. We might serve him without fear. He didn't wait for me to be righteous. He made me righteous. He clothed me with righteousness. He made sure there's no condemnation. No attack of the enemy can succeed against me. Isaiah 54 is fulfilled. No weapon fashioned against you, primarily from accusation, can prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, or those who are in the Lord's service, and their righteousness is of me, said the Lord. We've been delivered from my enemies. We might serve him without fear in righteousness and holiness all the days of our lives. Don't watch those funny movies, though. When you heard somebody trying to cast a demon, say you. you that you lied yesterday, there's therefore now no condemnation. Them which are in Christ Jesus. For the love of the spirit of life in Christ. Somebody was trying to cast a demon. Pastor, as I was trying to cast out, because of what he did, demon just slapped him. Demon slapped you. Ow. Who do you think is spreading those stories? Stories that don't have any substance. They don't have any substance. Let God be true. I said, let God be true. Let God be true. Let the word of God be true. Let be your final authority. Hallelujah. There's therefore now no condemnation. Glory to God. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it not God that justifies? Who is it that condemns? Is it not Christ that died? Who also is risen? Who also maketh intercession for us? Is another word, maketh intercession? That means his aliveness, pardon the English, is making intercession for you. He's being alive is your intercession. If he's alive, is your intercession. Hallelujah. At the Father's right hand. So who shall lay any charge? Who will query what Christ has done? Who will examine and say it's not sufficient? He's able to save to the uttermost. Hallelujah forever. He's able to save to the uttermost. We who have come to God by him. Hebrews 7:25. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Oh, we have a firm foundation. We have an eternal guarantee. We have a firm foundation. We have an eternal guarantee. He can't fail. This thing works. If we keep walking. After the sun and the moon and stars have gone down, it will keep walking. It is forever. It's eternal. It's by the blood of God himself. Glory to God. Let's finish reading that Luke. I think one or two more verses. We don't more verses and then we go. Luke chapter 1. Which verse are we now? If we grant unto us, I will be delivered. I will serve him without fear. In holiness and what? Righteousness. How? Before him. How long? How long? Say, my righteousness is forever. My righteousness is forever. I'm free from condemnation forever. My righteousness is of him. Glory to God. Don't examine yourself, examine him. If you want to know if you are fit for miracles, check him out. He's your righteousness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What faith? It was delivered for our offenses. It was raised again for my justification. Therefore, being justified by the faith in what he has done, I have peace forever. I'm not moved. I'm not shaken. I'm not fearful. I do not faint. I'm justified forever because of what he has done. He is my righteousness. I am, and I will be, and he has become. Praise God forevermore. He has become. Glory to God forevermore. So go back to Hebrews chapter 6 now. And let's read verse 13, and then we'll stop there for today. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely in blessing I will bless him, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and among men an oath for confirmation is what? To them an end of all strife. So in those days, the practice was such that once you ratify the covenant, the agreement, the pact with an oath, they know you are bound not to fail in your part. That's what they understood. So God now, look at next verse, wherein God willing more what? Abundantly to show unto those that will inherit the promise. Have you inherited the promise? Have you inherited the promise? So he was willing to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability or unchangeable nature of his what? Counsel. Now what counsel is wanting what covenant. He confirmed it by an oath. God swore. I don't know what he means. Well, how you view it? How can deity swear? How can God be swearing? When you swear, what do you have in mind? It's not God. So when God is swearing, who will you have in mind? He said, by myself. Have I sworn? You know what that means? If I don't do this, I will cease to be me. I will cease to be. I will cease to exist. You better believe he has the ability to stop existing if he wants to. He's telling you this can't fail. By myself, have I sworn. That's what he did. So willing more abundantly to show that Abraham, what I've told you, will not fail to come to pass. So you now understand why it was necessary for God to become a man, so that there can be a lamb that will take away the sins. A lamb that will pay the price. And if time permits us, as the one, I will show us when Jesus, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, when he took those articles, what they had been eating, year after year, once a year, they will eat it. As a Passover, they will eat it for the first time. He took what Moses inaugurated to point to something God would do. And says, this is a new testament in my blood. When was it inaugurated? When the children of Israel were about to leave Egypt. So when Jesus took those articles and showed them, this is the New Testament, they had the Passover before the Exodus. They knew, therefore, when he was telling them this is the New Covenant, there's about to be another Exodus. Only this time around, the children of Israel left Egypt physically. You will leave sin and the world forever. And this blood will make it a reality. That's what he was telling them. Praise God forever. That's what he was telling them. This is the blood of the New Testament. And we look at that word new, because again, the word new and old doesn't mean in English what we think it means. It means what, but in what it means in Bible language is different. Because the word new there actually will be the renewed covenant. That means what I told Abraham and Isaac. When I got the children of Israel in Egypt, they failed to continue in it. They didn't continue. I had to renew the covenant when I got to them because they failed to continue. That period of failure between the time they left Egypt and Mount Sinai is called the Old Testament. Genesis to Malachi is never referred in the Bible to as the Old Testament. It's the rebellion of the people to the covenant of promise that's called the Old Covenant. Something that happened temporarily, it will pass away, and God will renew what he said to the fathers before. I told you before, Moses never needed the law. Because like Abraham believed, Moses also believed. When he came to the others and presented to them what God presented to Abraham, they didn't follow. They didn't listen. This is my own thinking. I may be wrong. But I suspect that 400 years of slavery had affected their minds. And you know what? Moses was never a slave. How many of you know that? Abraham was never a slave. Isaac was never a slave. But when it came to those people, their mind had been twisted. If you read anything about black history in the U.S., they will tell you that one of the ways of oppression, which obviously was satanic in origin also, of oppression was that which affected generations of black men for years after. Part of the tool of oppression was that when they were taken as slaves, if they served their master well, they were entitled to a day off from work. They would give them alcohol. They would give them women. Marriage was not encouraged. So we have one black man who has fathered several children, but has never known what it means to be a father. He's not giving money to trade. He's giving money which he uses to pursue appetites. So even when he's released, he's still a slave in his thinking, because he was never taught enterprise. When he sees money, it's a means to pursuing appetites. When he sees women, they are objects to be used and not as individuals to be treasured. It was part of the tool of oppression. That's how they were raised. So 400 years, the people who were once free were behaving like slaves even when they left Egypt. And the promise was meant to free their minds. And the Bible says that though they left Egypt, in their minds they returned to Egypt. Today, that is likened to renew your mind. Hallelujah. So if I take somebody who has been taught by tradition, family courses, to your seventh generation, now that you are saved, I'll start teaching you the word of God. So you can know that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. Be me the curse for you, for his teaching. Curse is everyone, man. I hanged on the tree. I can tell you that you're not under a generational curse. You are in a generational blessing. But I'm not going to do it one day, because the way you were indoctrinated was not one day. I will say it again and again, because it takes time for to get rid of some of those things. It's the reason why your people, somebody is calling Oshakunle, nothing, Jesu Kunle. Because he's thinking, is that Osha that's the problem? That's the problem. How can somebody be in Osha? But if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become. But Paul said something very important about that part also. This knowledge is not in every man. We must enforce and strive to get that knowledge in every man. So we don't mock them. You are more comfortable changing your name to Jesu Kunle? Fine. But it's not in change of name. It's in renewal of the mind. The major work So we apply the word of God, which is God's spirit, to your heart and cleanse your mind from all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, so that you can receive with meekness the engrafted word as able to save your soul. Praise God. That's why James says, you look into the perfect law of liberty. You continue to look. You are not a forgetful hearer, but you are a doer. You will be blessed. In order, you won't see any demonic attack again. They will just disappear. Something coming in your name and say, you belong to me. You are who? You are not looking for that. You are inside him. You are not looking. You are who? How did you come? Which door did you? How did you? Just tell me. How did you? Which part did you enter? There's a boldness you have even in your dream life when your mind is renewed. The work that we have now, Christ won't do anything extra. He has done what needs to be done. You have been blessed with us, which are blessing. Now we renew your mind so you can take your place and take authority and put a stop to the machinations of the devil. Lift your hands this morning. Let's give him thanks for his faithfulness. Thank you, Father.